probably not going to be exactly what you anticipated today. And for some, it won't be what you wanted. Others, it will be eye-opening. Some, it will just be glorious. Just depends on your perspective as I begin to break the bread of life with you this morning about thanks. I'm sure it's going to go differently than what you're anticipating. And go with me to Romans, the 14th chapter and the 7th verse, if you would. I want to say we're glad to have all of our visitors again, especially glad to have my friend and neighbor, Dorothy Glass, with us today. She's my friend. I love her dearly, and she's been a blessing to me for the last 20 years, ever since she was young. And I was younger. Dorothy's my neighbor, and her sister Bonnie lives right next door to her. But Bonnie's not my neighbor because Dorothy's closer, and Dorothy's closer. We call her Dot, and she's worked at Love's for, I don't know, forever. I think since Love's was established back in the early 20s, she's been working there. And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just doing to her what I always do to her when I see her. I harass her. And but Dot, I'm glad you came today. And she's always was telling me, anytime when you're going to feed, Pastor, let me know. I'll be there. And I'd always tell her the week after. We fed last week, and she said, you're supposed to have told me. She finally showed up, and we're feeding today. Guess what? It's not fried chicken, so she's not staying. Now, that's what you said. But she has other things that she has to, her and her sister must go do this afternoon. But I'm tickled to death. I'm tickled to death to have them today. You've blessed me. Thank you very much for being here. All of you, I'm glad you're here. But it's just a special blessing today to have Dot, my neighbor and my friend here in church with us. Romans 14, verse 7. And it'd help if I got to the same place I've told you to go to. Here we go. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. There's a lot of preaching points in that little short passage of Scripture. Amen? But I'm not going to go the direction I think you probably expect me to go. Daniel Webster once said this. He said, the most serious thought of my life is that, as an individual, I am accountable unto God. The most serious thought that I have, Daniel Webster said, is this. I am accountable to God. And all of us are accountable to God today. In every aspect, in every hour of our lives, in every way of our lives, we are going to give account of ourselves to God. It's very important that we understand that. And so Romans 14:10, Paul said this. He says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 12, he says, then we shall give account of ourselves to God. Wow, that's sobering, isn't it? Just a little bit sobering to think that we have to give account for ourselves. Brother Robbie, I'm not responsible for you in that sense. You have to stand before God on your own. I'm accountable for me. You're accountable for you. And so we want to look at stewardship today as we talk about thanksgiving, as we think about thanks. We want to talk about stewardship. Well, that's weird, preacher. You're supposed to be really happy today, and you're supposed to make us all feel good because we're rolling into the Thanksgiving season, and we're going to go see family. Some of you are going to fuss. We're going to go eat food together, and some of you are going to stuff yourselves. You're going to watch football, yeah, and you're going to argue over plays. And you're going to be arms chair quarterbacks. And you're going to think, I could do better than they could. No, you can't. But we're going to go, it's Thanksgiving, so we want to feel good when we leave here today. If you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do, and you're living according to it to the best of your ability, you will leave here feeling good today. But if you're not, you might leave here feeling a little bit poorly about yourself, especially if you refuse to judge yourself and then make changes in yourself according to the Word of God. You'll leave here a little bit, well, you could leave here sour. You might leave here unhappy. You might leave here even a little bit ticked at the preacher. Well, guess what? It's happened before. I survived it. And although I don't like to do that to people, every now and again it happens. And every single time it has happened, I've always survived. Came out on top, still blessing the Lord, still giving Him thanks and praise, still preaching His Word according to His Word, rightly to the best of my ability, dividing His Word in a way that you can understand what it means. That's my goal. Okay? So let's talk about stewardship today. Total stewardship involves the entire person. Not just a portion of your life, but your entire life. The entire person. We will give account, number one, we will give account of what we, how we spend our time. Now that gets all of us. Because all of us have a certain amount of time that we've been allotted. And God expects us to allot a certain amount of that time for Him. He really does. He expects us to allot our time for Him. He's given us a lot of time, but He wants us to spend it wisely. And we're going to be held accountable for a lot of our time, how we spend it witnessing to the lost, or whether we did spend any time witnessing to the lost. That's our mandate. Matthew 28 tells us to go. That's a mandate we have from heaven. It's not an option. As a Christian, you should be witnessing for the Lord. That's something we all should do. And we're going to also give account of how much time we spent helping the poor and the needy. Whether you had a compassionate heart or not. Whether you really cared or not. You're going to give account for those different things. How much time have you spent visiting the sick? How many times have you dug into your wallet and gave somebody some money, whether you knew they needed it or not, whether you believed they really need it? I mean, you know, sometimes you help people and you know they don't need it. Especially those little guys standing on the street corner holding, we'll work for food. And they've done documentaries on it, and they've done investigations and undercover work, and they find them getting into Lexus and all kinds of nice cars and driving off to a nice home. Pretty good living, huh? Sometimes we help, although we know it may not go to the right place. We do it because we have compassion. Something spoke to our spirit and said, do it. So we just do it. And once you do it, it's released into God's hands. What they do with it, they give account for. What you give account for is how you handled what God placed into your heart, what God placed into your hands to use, and the time that God gave you to use. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter and 15th and 16th verse, it says this, we see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many realize that? How many know that the days are evil? Have you recognized that? Have you seen all the things that's going on? Have you heard about all the murders and the break-ins and the rapes and all this stuff's going on all around us every day? The time that we live in is evil. But you know what? It's been evil since the beginning. Ever since Adam and Eve made their big mistake, it's been evil. Their children killed one another. All kinds of things have been happening since the beginning. It's always been evil, and we are to redeem the time. We'll walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, and redeem the time. What circumspectly means simply this. walk accurately or precisely with great care. We are to walk with great care as the children of God, walking with great care. And it says, redeem the time, and it denotes there's a fixed measure of time that's been allotted to us. So walk with great care in the time that's been fixed or allotted to you. We all just have a certain amount of time, and then our lives will end. Some of us are closer to the end than others. Some of us are closer than we think. But we only have a certain amount of time. What you do with it for God is what really counts. Not what you do it spending in recreation. There's nothing wrong with recreation. It doesn't matter how many hours you spent fishing if you didn't go fishing for souls. The next best TV show that comes on doesn't matter, doesn't amount to anything when compared to eternity. But yet there's times we can spend all kinds of times talking about TV and talking about the latest advancements in technology. We can talk about the new cars that are coming out. We can talk about this. We talk about that. But we never visit the sick. We never witness to the lost. But folks, we will give an account of the time that we've been allotted. Every one of us. And then we're going to be given an account for how we've used our tongue. Let's just take a vote before we move on. How many want me to preach that aspect? Just raise your hands. We've been outvoted. We got to move to the next point. Nobody wants me to talk about the tongue, do you? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 26, I'm going to override the vote. I'm vetoing the vote. Every idle word, in Matthew 12:26 says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wait a minute, Lord, that's not hardly fair, because there's times, you know, we engage our mouth before we engage our brains, and we say things we don't mean. And we're going to give account for that. That's what the Bible said, every idle word, you're going to give an account for it. Well, I'm in trouble. Because I've said things I shouldn't say. And so I have to rely on God's grace pretty often and His mercy and ask Him to forgive me, and oftentimes turn right around to the person I've just spoken to and said, would you forgive me? I spoke out of turn. I spoke in anger. I spoke without proper information. Have you ever drew judgment and spoke to a situation and found out you didn't have all the facts? So you judged erroneously, you spoke wrong, and you hurt somebody. The Lord says we're going to give account for every word we speak on the day of judgment. Wow. He doesn't cut us much slack, but yet we want slack cut, don't we? We want to say, well, if they hadn't said what they said, I wouldn't have said what I said. So, Lord, it's not my fault, it's theirs. No, it's your own fault. You give account for your own words. Every idle word. Sometimes we could probably speak enough words, we probably do every day, to fill a book. So much is said that could go unsaid. Gossip, lies, hurtful things that we've said to others, even though it might have been true, we shouldn't have said it. Come on now. There's sometimes you need to say some things, and sometimes you need to show some tough love, and sometimes you give counsel to help people, but other times it pays us just to zip it, just to keep quiet. But yet our human nature is, I'm going to correct that. I'm going to correct that. I'll fix this. I'll fix them. No, you're going to fix yourself on the day of eternity if you don't begin to control your tongue. We are always to speak in a Christ-like manner. I'm going to be glad to get off this point, because sometimes I'm surprised my wife's not shouting over there. The Bible says, Psalms 50, verse 23, to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. So we're all going to give account of what we say. We're going to give an account of how we spend our time. We're going to give an account of what we say. We are all charged, number three, we are all charged with the responsibility of using the talents that we have been given by God. We've all been given something by God. The parable of the talents in Matthew, the 25th chapter, in verses 14 through 30, speaks of three men. We all know the story. I think most of you know the story. And there's three men, and their boss, let's just put it that way, in plain English for us, their boss was going to go away to a far country. So he gave each of them a certain amount of silver to take care of while he was gone. One he gave five talents, one he three, and another one he gave one. And he expected them to use what he gave them to gain in his favor while they were gone. He just gave them a certain amount according to their ability. He didn't give the one, that last guy one because any more than one, because he knew he couldn't handle more than one. He knew he only had the ability to transform that one into more than he couldn't have done more than what he had to work with. He knew he couldn't do it, in other words. And so he gave it to him. He gave five and two and one. He gave to their ability. So it tells us that our place in heaven, or a place in service in heaven, will depend on the faithfulness of our lives and our service here. If you read that parable, you'll see, let me get to it so I can read it to you. And I'm on a page, but I'm on the wrong page. It's 25, verse 14. There it is. He gave them their talents. And then he went, the one of them went and made another five, and another one take the two and made two more, and all of them. But boss, the king, or whatever you might say, the man traveling to the far country, what did he say to this, each of those two, the one with five and the one with two? What did he say to them? Well done. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. That's what he said. So what's it telling you? There's something in our future that God's going to use us in if we're faithful here. So, well, I'm just going to take what God's given me, Pastor. I'm not going to lose it, but I'm not going to use it. Well, what did he say to that servant who took it, hid it, preserved it, but didn't use it, didn't take any chances, he just didn't use it? What did he say to him? He said, you're wicked and you're lazy. You know I reap where I haven't sown. You know I gather where I haven't scattered seed. So you should have deposited it with the money with the bankers, so I'd received at least my own back with interest. So he took it from him, gave him to the one who had 10, and he cast, the last verse, 30, and he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and he said, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what's that tell us? What we do with our talents here, what we do with what God's given us here, pays, reaps, rewards. But if you refuse to do what God's asked you to do, he has a place reserved for you also. That's ugly, isn't it? That's what God said. He expects us, folks, I don't have no talent, Pastor. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. Well, do something. Do your best with something. If you don't have nothing to work with nothing. But show God that you're going to use what he's given you to build his kingdom. You're going to be faithful over the little things. And then God will reward you accordingly. You can't just sit on your seat of do nothing and expect God to bless it. We're going to all give an account. And God expects us to use our abilities, our time, for him. We're to use our resources and our opportunities on earth to build his kingdom. It's not all about you. Well, guess what? However, folks, it's not about me. No, it's about building his kingdom. But church, if you will use what God's given you, then God blesses you while you're here and meets your needs while you're here, lets you enjoy the journey. He supplies your needs. He gives you clothing, shelter, food, transportation. Most of you, He's granted you a loving spouse. He's given you children. He's given you family. He's given you jobs. He's taken care of you. God's that gracious. Live for me, I'll take care of you. We sit on and say, no, I can't do nothing. I don't have any talents. Yes, you do. God has given all of us something to do. Some people can sing beautifully and some can teach. Some can preach and others are given a talent to witness. Some are given a talent of intercessory prayer. There's something that God has given you. We all have some talent that God has given us, and God expects us to use it, and we will all give an account for how we used what He gave us. As simple as that. Use what God has given you for His glory. And then He'll take care of you. And then next, we'll give an account of how we've used the opportunities to witness that He's opened up to us. All of us have opportunities to witness. It might be at the Love's Grocery Corner, Quick Stop. It might be at Walmart. I've been stopped in the frozen food section at Fire Lake. Right there in front of everybody. Said, would you pray for me, preacher? Yeah, sure I will. She's no preacher. I mean now. You mean now? Someone might see us. Okay, the coast is clear. Let's go now. Hurry. Well, that's a witness. And someone might have started walking down that aisle. They probably turned around and took off. Whoa, here, I'm not going down that aisle. But you may meet somebody somewhere that needs a smile, needs a pat on the back, a hand up, and you have the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Why are we so afraid to share with them Jesus? The Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit within us. And His Bible says that He will quicken into our minds what to say. Why are we so afraid to let Him work and live and move through us so that we might witness for Him? But sometimes we clam up. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about the latest, they were getting back on the latest TV show. Talk about the last football game. Talk about the Thunder's last loss. Wonder if they're ever going to win again. We're afraid to tell anybody about Jesus. Well, folks, we need to find a place to witness. It might be at the fishing hole. It might be at the grocery store. It might be just out while you're taking an evening walk, stroll down the street in your neighborhood. But you need to tell people about Jesus. That's part of being thankful. It's to take what you've got and share it with others. Because you love God that much. We need to share with others. Now we're getting to the part you may not like. Another part of being thankful is giving money to God's program. Showing your thanks by giving money. And I've got as much on this as do the other. But let's go. Y'all ready? There's four ways. Or Christian stewardship involves more than just dropping money into the offering plate. It involves our position behind the offering plate. Above the offering plate, in the offering plate, and beyond the offering plate. We are not good stewards, and we've not fulfilled our responsibilities to God if all four of these aspects are not in work in our lives. So let's look at them four aspects. Can we do that? Will you stay with me? Lunch is prepared. It'll be ready when we get out there. Number one, behind the offering plate. God is concerned about how we earn our money. So He don't care how I earn my money. Yes, He does. God cares how you earn your money. He expects you to work for a legitimate trade. Your job should be legitimate. You shouldn't be, well, I'll get there in a minute. Bible says 6 days in Exodus, I believe it is, Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Aren't you glad that we don't have to work but 4 days a week, Todd? 5 days a week? Some of us work 6 and 7 days a week. But God expects you to take a day off and rest. He really does. And he also expects you to take some time off and worship. But he tells us to work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul was dealing with some issues in the church, and he says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's God's perspective on it. If you don't want to work, you shouldn't be able to eat. Oh, man. It's cruel, isn't it? But it's the truth. If you're out of work and you're really trying to work, there's a difference than just refusing to work. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about being down and out, having hard luck. We're not talking about situations beyond your control. We're talking about someone who refuses to work. When the Bible teaches us to work, to do good, to work and support your family, you really should do that. When you consider earning money in a manner that pleases God, you need to ask yourself these questions. Is it legal? First off, is the occupation you're in, is it legal? Will it honor, God will not honor money made by gambling, narcotic sales, prostitution, dishonest advertising, shady business deals, even if you give 90% instead of the 10% to the church. If you're a dishonest car dealer today, God can't bless that. Be honest. If you got a clunker sitting on the side of the road you're trying to sell, tell the people. This is what's wrong with it. This is what I want for it. What will you give me for it? I need to sell it. They might just buy it anyway. But be honest with them. Don't lie. Secondly, is it helpful, the job you're doing? If the money is earned by sale of obscene materials, drugs or alcohol, and other detrimental products, it's not pleasing to God. Is it helpful to sell narcotics to somebody, drugs? Absolutely not. Is it helpful to promote, let me look at my word here. Obscene materials? It's not. It's a detriment to home life. If it's things of that nature, if it's detrimental to people's lives, it cannot please God, and you shouldn't be involved in it. Now, it's not pleasing God. I won't say that one. Number three, is it fair to everyone concerned? One can be in an honest vocation and still be dishonest and unfair. Are you acting in a fair way at your job and what you do? Are you being honest? If you're not, God can't bless it. God expects us to be honest in what we do. Actually expects you to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Well, preacher, they don't pay me enough, so I'm not going to work as hard. Did you agree to work for that amount? Did you agree to work for that amount? Then give them a full day's work for that amount. Be honest in it. But I can't live on that. Well, try living without that. Because if you don't do your job, they may just send you on down the road and you won't even have that. But if you agree to work for $10 an hour, then work for $10 an hour. Do your best. Amen? I knew you wouldn't like this. So behind the offering plate is where you work and how you earn your money. Over the offering plate, God wants you to have the right attitude towards your money. He says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. You can be poor, 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 still love money. You can. We always want to say, oh, them rich people, they ought to share. Well, not rich because they were dummies. They've watched what they were doing. They've been in the right place at the right time. Oftentimes, many of them took risk that you and I wouldn't take. My wife was telling me again the other day, I won't tell you what it was, but one time back in 1974, she said, we ought to build one of these. I said, we can't get a loan to build that. We can't do it. We just can't do it. If we'd have done that, we'd have been a millionaire today. I should have listened to her. I'd have had a chain of them today. And I still could have preached because it would have been a part-time job. Correct? So she reminded me the other day, we should have built those. And we didn't. I know. I was afraid to take the risk. Plus, I didn't think I could get a loan for it. When you're making $600 a month and you want to borrow about $100,000, it's kind of hard to get the banker to cooperate. You know what I mean? The love of money. Ask yourself this question, because you can change, before you change your attitude, you got to ask this. Would I be just as happy without as much money? Could I be happy without what I've got? Now, a lot of, if you answer honestly, you'd have to say no, but the Bible tells us to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Sometimes it's difficult when you don't have enough to be content and to be happy and to be satisfied. But you need to ask yourself that question, would I be just as happy without as much money? You must come to a place where you would even be willing to take a lesser paying job so that you could be in the house, attend the house of God faithfully rather than make more money. And I've put that into practice before. I've never took a job I had to work on Sunday. Never. I've had to work some Sundays, but I always did my best to take a job that I would not have to work Sunday. And if I got a job and they made me work Sunday, I started looking for another job. And as soon as I found another job, I got out of there, because serving God, attending His house of worship, is more important to me than making money. And because of that, God has blessed me. He takes care of His own. I'm not saying that you shouldn't ever work on a Sunday. I'm telling you, be honest with God. Put God first, and God will make a way. Isn't that right, brother? Number two, would I depend on God more if I didn't have as much money? Well, it's easier to trust God when finances are scarce, isn't it? Why is that? Because you're thrust into a place where you have to. When you have a lot of money, sometimes it's easier to trust the money and the job. It's easier to do that than trust God. You need to get to a place that you will trust God. He's your source, not your job. Your job could go away tomorrow. They could decide to downsize. They could decide they just don't like you. It could go away. But God never goes away. Put God first, okay? Let me move on. Number three, do I put money before God, my church, and my family? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you putting money before God? Are you putting your money before your family? Come on now. If you are, you're in error. Seek first the kingdom of God. There again, we've practiced this. It works. It works very well. Why is it? Because it's God's way. Put God first. God then takes care of you. You need to believe this, church. If you don't believe this, you'll not believe the next part I get to. You got to believe God will take care of His own. And then, in the offering plate, we talked behind the offering plate where you work. We talked about over the offering plate, your attitude about money. Now let's talk about in the offering plate. As you hold your money and you're getting ready to drop it into the offering plate, God asked you a question. Why are you giving this? What's your motive? Is your heart right? Do you really want to do it? Is it from a heart of love and desire to please God and serve God? Or are you doing it trying to earn God's favor? Why did you give that offering? Why did you put that gift in to God? It should never be given out of fear or duty. We've all given out of duty before. Well, they tell us we got to do it, so I guess I'll do it. No, it should never be out of fear or duty. It should be out of a love for God and a desire to please God and a desire to build God's kingdom. That's what it's all about. It's not out of fear or duty. It's not to receive reward or praise from people. It's Jesus rebuked. Fact is, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes and said to them, in Matthew 23:5, everything you do is to be seen. It's for the people to see. Everything you do is just to be seen. He goes on, talks about their robes, how they've extended the hems of their robes and how they've done all it. It's all so you can be seen. And God looks at the heart. That little lady, Jesus was sitting at the treasury that day. How many remember that story? He was sitting at the treasury. He was just watching them put their money in. And this little old lady come up there just probably very sheeplessly, very shyly. Walked up there and dropped in just everything she had. And it was nothing more than a mite. The least she could give, she gave. And it was all she had. The others come up there all pompous and proud and dropping, making sure all their coins made noise as they went in. So everybody you know, hey, they're giving a lot. One by one, and probably threw it so it make noise. Boom, boom, boom. Did you see that? Boom. I'm doing a handful this time. Did y'all see that? Jesus said, she gave more than all of you. And she'll be blessed beyond you. Because you gave out of your abundance, she gave out of her lack. You don't trust me, she does. You see, your tithe and offering should not be given to make up for failures or other areas of your Christian life. Giving is an outgrowth of dedication, not a substitute for dedication. If you really love God and you're dedicated to Him, you're going to give. You're going to give because you love God and you're dedicated to Him. If you're not, you'll give every now and then. You'll give a token. You'll give something that makes you feel good. I gave. I made sure I wrote a check too. They're going to know I gave. Well, there is such thing as accountability, and that's really good. But if you're giving just so you can say, I gave, giving for the wrong reason. And we want you to, now can I put a parenthesis around this statement? Please don't quit giving because you got mad at me and you don't want to, you know, go ahead and give what you're giving. But let God work on you. Don't cut us off because you got mad. It's been done before, and guess what? We just keep going. And I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm not saying that proud. I'm not being arrogant. We've learned to trust God. We've learned to trust God. I want you to learn to trust God. We're held accountable for what we put into the offering plate. When God asks, how much did you put into the offering plate? He's not just talking about dollars. He's talking about percentages. What percentage of your income did you give? A good starting place is 10%. That's the least we can give. But God desires that we go beyond that. Go beyond that. First fact is, in the New Testament, it really doesn't say anything about the 10%. It takes it further. It says, upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store as God has prospered him. As God has prospered you. You know what we do? You know what many do? God, we get a raise on our job. We never increase what we give to the church, but we go buy a new toy. We'll buy us a new refrigerator. We'll go buy a new car because we can make the payment now. But we never increase what we give to the church. We never increase what we give to God because God has blessed me. I get to buy a new car. I'm going to still give that dollar in Sunday school. My budget is $5 on Sunday night. I'm not going to increase that. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm not going to do any more. God looks at that. Yeah, I don't like this preaching, preacher. Well, if God has prospered you and blessed you in a great way, you ought to be willing to give God a little bit more and trust Him to still meet your needs. You should give proportionately to how God has blessed you. Every one of us should. Well, preacher, I've been watching. I don't see you put anything in the offering. You're watching at the wrong time. Fact is, I put offerings in the offering pan every service except for the tithe. And the reason I don't do that is that on Mondays, when I get paid, my tithe check is written. My offerings for the week are written. And they're put in the bank on Monday. I put them in. I want you to know that. That's how we've done it for years now, 25 years. On Monday, when we get paid, we write our tithe check. We put it in the offering, and we put it in the bank, in the church's bank account, by the way. That's how we do it. So, you know, oftentimes, for a while there, I'd bring it out here and put it in on Sunday. I'd wait a week and put it, but now we just write it. We put it in the bank on Monday. Anyway, it's there. It's in your account, the church's account. We're honest. We don't tell you to do something we don't do ourselves. And then there's beyond the offering plate. Beyond it. God wants us to be good stewards of what's left over. To use it wisely. Not spend it foolishly. To save a portion if you can. Be a good steward of what God has left you to spend for your needs. Charles Spurgeon said, "A fool can make money, but it takes a wise man to spend it." Spend your money wisely. Use it wisely. Earn it wisely. And if you've got a large estate, oh, preacher, you're getting out there now. Why don't you pray and ask God how much percentage of that estate to leave to the church when you pass? Nobody thinks about that, do they? Some do. I know churches that send out statements every month, every year, and the church sends it back in telling them exactly what they're going to give for that year. That's how they budget their money for the year. Each person sends it back, brings it back, says, "This is what I'll give this year." You can count on it. Us Pentecostals don't do that. We just preach every now and then something like this. Say, "Would you please give? Would you be honest with God? Would you let God bless you? Would you trust God to meet your need? For it's in Him that you move and you live, and you have your being." And Paul was very plain to say, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen? So let's look at this. Let's go beyond the offering plate. Let's give more than just lip thanks to God this year. Let's show God how much we love Him by doing these different things. Let's be witnesses. Let's be honest with God in our finance. Let's give an account to Him. Let's be accountable for ourselves and our actions, our deeds, our words. Let's do what we should do to show God how truly grateful we are for all the benefits He gives us for serving Him. Amen? Amen. I know that's tough, but you need it sometime. I preach stewardship less than once a year. We're done for another year. Or until the Lord moves on me again. Would you stand? As we get ready to dismiss, I want to tell you, when I preach something like this, it's difficult for me. Because I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to think we're money grabbers. But I do want you to be blessed. And I want your needs supplied. I want you to walk in the fullness of His blessing. You can't do it if you're half-heartedly serving Him or you don't trust Him. There's a trust factor here. I don't see how you can trust God to save you if you can't trust God to meet your needs. I don't know how you can do it. How can you be assured of your salvation if you can't be assured that God will meet all your needs? That's funny, isn't it? Well, I'll trust Him to save me, but
I can't do any more for the church because, I mean, after all, I might need it. It don't work that way, folks. God supplies your needs. He really does. Let's pray. Father, this morning, again, we thank you for all your goodness, all your mercy, your grace sufficient. Father, you've been good to us this past year. We're approaching another time of where we set apart a day for Thanksgiving. And Lord, if we're not careful, what happens is that we approach that day and we get so busy preparing and traveling and, you know, just living life and visiting with family and that we forget to take time to really thank you for all you've done, especially for saving us, especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who willingly died on Calvary for our sins. Help us as a church, Lord, to be truly thankful, really grateful for all you've done. Lord, if there's anyone here today that you are convicting, I pray, Lord, that they'll not override the conviction, but that, Lord, they will listen to your voice, heed your call, and obey your word. And Lord, we ask you to bless our fellowship today and keep your hand upon all of us. Help us, Lord, to have a good time of fellowship and breaking of bread together and a great service this afternoon. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.